Welcome to Coffee and Bottles with Nathusha and Adriana.
It's something that comes across all cultures, all moms, and it goes hand in hand with the whole mom shaming.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, there's definitely mom guilt that comes from yourself and your own preconceptions and your ambitions of how much of a great mother you want to be. But when it comes to mom guilt stemming from others and being shamed, I think that's another thing altogether. But I wanted to vent a little bit because I just felt like, it's been really rough because, as you know, we're sleep training Mowgli. He's 17 months old in a couple of days, and I'm going back to work at the end of January. So this is something that, I'm at the finish line here. I need to get him trained. And I feel like it's barbaric and very harsh, and I hate it, but I also know the benefits of it, and I am going to stick through it. And honestly, in the last 3 days, we've had okay sleep. I mean, the only reason why my sleep was interrupted was him not being there, and personally, I like him being right beside me on the bed, but I've had some, I feel well rested, which I haven't felt in a very long time. So,
It's amazing how much sleep you actually do get. Yeah. Because,
And
and
he, sorry, go ahead.
no, I heard a lot. So I heard that a lot of it comes from the baby being able to smell you still. Like they can sense you, they can smell you. So your presence just being there, you invoke something in them that's like, oh, mommy's here.
Oh, I didn't know that.
like when they're really, really young. I know that's the case because like they can smell your breast milk. I know that sounds so
That's true.
crazy, but they really can. They really can.
And I know I got some tips and tricks for sleep training, which was, give them an old t-shirt that maybe is something that you've lived in for a bit, not washed, and that can help him. I didn't do that. I'm just remembering it now. But it's not too late. He has gotten a lot better. He knows that going into that room, it's time to sleep. He'll start crying when we're in there. And then I put him down. And he stands up in the crib, and again, he looks at me, and he has a big crying face on. And then I run out of the room. Then I'm like, I can't do this. And then I go back in, I pat him on the head. I'm like, oh, it's time to go to sleep. And then I run out of the room, close the door, and he cries for a couple of minutes, and then he goes to bed. So
Yeah,
that's, he's
that's
napping
really
right now. Yeah,
yeah.
it was only 2 minutes. Which was great. I think nap time's easier when it comes to actual big sleep overnight, then he's a little bit more 5 minutes, 10 minutes. First night it was 45 minutes. Second night it was an hour.
Yeah, for us, oh my gosh, the first time we did it, we obviously didn't know what Elsa's, limits are and things. So we were like, okay, we'll just stay in the room because, they say you can stay in the room and you can pat them. There are so many variations of doing it. So it was like, okay, I'm going to try this one because it seems, a little less harsh. So I stayed in the room, pat it. Oh my goodness. That was the worst thing we could have done with her. Unfortunately, it had to be out of sight, out of mind, because she would cry. She'd be like, okay. Like, I'm good. But if I was there or if someone else was there, that she did not want to sleep. Until this day, she's not the best sleeper, but at least she has learned how to kind of, calm herself before bed and try to let herself to sleep. But yeah.
And that's the great thing because in this process, they're learning how to self-soothe, right? Calming themselves. And that's an essential school, essential school. What am I thinking right now? Essential skill that they're going to need as they get older, right? Like even as adults, we self-soothe somehow. It's just trying to figure it out. So it's kind of like building the blocks for when they're adults, and it builds resiliency, I guess, right? Being put in
Exactly.
those situations and not being coddled all the time.
Yes. Well, if you think about it, even for us as adults, how long does it take us to sleep sometimes, right? We just need to wind down and turn off our screens or whatever. And it's the same thing with them. Like, how can you expect them to be completely wired and then be like, okay, go to sleep? Like,
Yeah, exactly.
work.
No, I agree. For us, like sometimes we'll put the TV on, like if there's music in the background or things like that, just to kind of, get him to eat his dinner. Like he's not sitting directly in front of the TV, because I think if he is getting TV time, I want him to be present for TV time and not distracted with the meal. So we do. So like even a couple nights ago before bed, like we were trying to give him his meal. As you know, Mowgli is not the best eater, right? He's a little bit more picky. He gets hungry at various times, even though he does have a set schedule. And we were giving his last meals just so he's going to bed a little bit more full. And we had the TV in the background, and it was just playing, like I think it was playing Christmas music. It was nice. It was a good feel. But once it's, an hour before, a half hour before bed, it's turn off the screens, right? He's usually upstairs getting his bath and getting ready for bed. And you're right, like as adults, we need that too. We need to put away our phones, because as soon as you look at your phone, you're just going to feel a little bit more
That's
awake. The
it.
vicious cycle.
Let me check Instagram.
I can't sleep. I'm going to be on my phone, which I'm not going to lie, I did probably last night before
Yeah, same.
bed. But yeah, that's he's same thing with Mowgli as Elsa. When it comes to, using the different methods, we chose extinction, which is crying it out and not going into the room to comfort them. There's also the Farber method, or the Farber style, and that's when you go in intervals. So, you let them cry for 5 minutes, and you go in and you calm them down. I already knew with Mowgli, I cannot go into the room. If I go into the room, he's just going to get even more upset, and when I pick him up, he's just going to cry even more. So, we went with extinction, and it worked. Like day three, day four, and he's already, a couple minutes in, and he knocks out. So, you just have to know your baby, right? Like, you need to know your baby, and you need to know what's right for them.
Exactly. We started sleep training when she was just crying for the sake of like crying. Like she would cry for everything. So we definitely noticed like she's not getting enough rest and she's crying anyway. So it's kind of like, okay, well, she needs to learn how to put herself to sleep because us holding her, it's not working. And then like trying to tiptoe out of the room, it's so stressful for everyone. She's like, what happened? Like I fell asleep in mom's hands and now all of a sudden I'm in my crib. Like, no. Right? And then interesting side note though, sorry, going back to, my brain is all over the place today.
No, that's okay.
It always is. But going back to what you were saying about picky eaters and things, no, there's someone we follow on Instagram, and I think they follow us, and they actually posted something about how it's interesting that once the little ones get older, they tend to stick to safer foods. So they're not as adventurous because they're at first they're in the oral stage, where everything goes in their mouth and they want to experiment with everything, they want to try everything, they want to eat everything you're eating, and then they move to more of like a safe zone stage. So it's like bland food and like, pasta with butter or something. And it's just because of the stage that they're in. So they're kind of outgrowing that, like, everything goes in the mouth stage. I'm like,
And that
ah,
explains a
why
lot
are men
because,
all so picky?
yes,
Yes.
he was picky, but it's just been significantly more the last couple of months. It's been really bad. He's eating just like bread with like French toast, like that's our go-to every morning, or like a pancake. And then after that, the rest of the day, it's kind of like nitpicking at like things that are safe, like cookies. Like he loves cookies, and cookies are going into his mouth, and we need to buy a variety of cookies to ensure that he's getting something. I've tried making food that look like crackers and cookies. And but he's so smart, he knows.
But you said he likes smoothies and things, right?
No, he doesn't do smoothies. He likes juice. And but I'm starting to give, well, it's only been day one, but I'm starting to give him omega-3. Yeah, so I bought omega-3 and I put it in his pancake. I tried putting it in his milk. He didn't drink it, so I put it in his pancake today and he ate it. So I think I'm gonna continue with that. And just so I know, he's at least getting omega-3s because he doesn't eat a lot of egg unless it's in something. And no fish, no seafood, which is strange because we eat a lot of seafood at our house. But yeah. But we'll get past this. He's only 17 months. I need to keep reminding myself, but I can go down a rabbit hole
I
when it comes to
know.
the eating.
And again, that goes with the whole mom guilt thing, right? Are
Yes,
they
I
eating enough?
know.
Am I making the right food? Like, what should I do? What should I change differently? How do I get them to eat more? Ah!
And the other day we were at my friend's house. Well, not a friend, my cousin's house. We just kind of stopped by and someone said something, and then I was like, okay. I guess because he's thin, he's skinny, he's not like, a big plumpy baby, and a lot of babies are, right? They're chunky.
Oh, yeah, Elsa. She was a
Yes.
big, chunky one.
Yeah, and then what about pretty chunky too? She was.
She, well, no, she was more on the thin side, like petite. She's very petite. She's still very petite. And my husband thinks it has to do with probably because when I was pregnant with Elsa, I was drinking a lot of like whole milk, like what's that?
HOMO or 3%?
Yes, yeah, that's exactly it. Thank you.
No,
You always find my words. It's so great.
okay.
And with Anna, I was kind of like, oh, 2% is okay. Because, like,
Oh,
that's what we
really?
all drank or whatever. And then, yeah, so he feels like that had to do with it. But I mean, there could be a number of reasons. Like, it could be genetics. Who knows, right? Like, you know.
Well, when I was pregnant, I had very bad acid reflux, and I was never hungry. It was so weird. I would eat because I had to eat, but I was either not hungry most of the time or like ravenous. Like I had to just eat anything, right? But I think I don't know if I don't know. Can we? I don't know if I could have changed my eating habits. Like I
Well,
don't think I could have stuffed myself when I was not hungry. It was hard.
it's tough, and that's why, like, that's why recently, because, I've been experimenting with mug meals and stuff, like, because I don't want to eat too much of it, so it's a small portion, but it does force me, and it's kind of like, oh, maybe I'm craving, I don't know, Alfredo or something like that. So I'll just eat that small portion of it, and then at least it's something that's in my system. Because I totally hear you. When I was pregnant, like in the past, it's tough when you're feeling that sick. You really just don't feel like eating anything. And it got to a point where even my doctors were kind of like, just be careful, like make sure you're getting something in your system. You have to have food, right? Like you need it for you need it for baby, you need to, be okay.
No,
So
I
I definitely
understand, yeah.
underweight the first time. Yeah.
I mean, when he was born, he was regular weight, like he was normal weight, sorry, 7 pounds, 2 ounces, and which is normal. But I think his appetite was not as hearty even after he was born, right? That was something that we noticed.
Exactly. But
But yeah,
honestly,
mom.
I wouldn't feel too bad because there are some days where Anna, she doesn't even have lunch. Like, I don't know how to explain. Oh, sometimes she'll have like a big breakfast and then she just skips through lunch. She's like, I'm good. I'm okay. I'm not really hungry. And then she'll drink some milk. And then dinner comes along and she's like, okay, I'll just eat a little bit. And then that's it. Like she's, call it a day. Like,
Well, with the sleep training, he's been eating more, and we've also cut a lot of his milk out. Even though now I'm worried that he's not drinking enough milk because they need that for brain development, right? So it's like,
but I
there's
think
so many things.
I know at one point it switches to like one cup a day. I think I can't remember what age. I'll have to check that. But I know at first they say two, and then they're like, okay, one a day is okay.
He's at 2 cups. Well, he's drinking actually a little bit more than 2 cups on some days. Because days where he didn't want his meals at all, he didn't like anything in front of him, he would fill up on milk. And I think he's still supposed to have 2 cups of milk. So I was just telling my husband right now, like we're giving him more food, but it's he needs the fat in the milk to for his brain, and how is he going to get that? He's like, just one step at a time. Let's just figure the food out first. Give him his meals and work on that, and then we'll worry about that later. He's so he's oh, that's right. Don't tell him I said that, sometimes right. Most of the
You just don't want to admit it.
Exactly.
I know, been there.
But yeah, it's this constant mom guilt. And I'm sure everyone listening is feeling exactly the same. It's always one thing or another that you're feeling guilty about, right? Like I feel like I'm feeling guilty about everything right now.
Yeah, same. Well, it's beyond our control with this whole, quarantine thing. But I feel guilty because I'm like, I wish they could see their family. I wish they could, go and spend time with the grandparents and aunties and uncles. Like I, you know. But you do feel guilty because it's like, okay, how am I gonna try to make this the best Christmas ever? Like, you automatically flip into that mode, right?
You can do drive-bys, like that's what we've been doing. And if you need a babysitter, I heard that that's okay, right? Like if your parents are your babysitter, that's okay. So it's just, yeah, I guess it's going to be a drive-by Christmas this year.
Well, I heard something from someone a long time ago, closer to when like all this started, and they had said, let's sacrifice one. Like we're going to sacrifice one Christmas so that we can have many, many more. So
Oh, that's true.
I really like that.
And Elsa
Don't feel
and
guilty.
I know you're so good at just being positive and like making people, switch their mindset. Like you're good at that.
Oh, thank you. I think you're
You're
pretty
welcome.
good at just everything. Like you always reassure me of things, and you're always like, "Oh no, I read this. Like it's a fact, and I researched this." And I'm like, "Okay, yeah." So it's I'm not just pulling this stuff out of my hat. My precious mom, Emma, was living with us. Holy, she was living with us while we were sleep training. So at one point it was like, you need to stop this. You're going to destroy them, like you're hurting them. This is very damaging, and I don't think this is right. And so many times she wanted to go and pick her up, and was like, oh my gosh, it caused so much tension. But luckily we were both trying to be, on
Strong.
board. Yeah, like to get on this, because I mean, thankfully, Nish was like, no, like this is our decision. This is how we want to raise our child. But it was just like, holy crap. And it's just like what you said. She was like, oh, like we never had to do this. Like I never did this with you guys. Why are you doing this to her? What did she do to deserve this? Again, like all those questions, all those comments, you're thinking about that, right? Like it's just
Of
like,
course.
is she right? Are we damaging her child?
Yes, exactly.
What is happening?
I was sitting there and I'm like, this is so inhumane. Like I felt like I was the worst. I've never felt like that. Honestly, Adriana, I've never felt so bad in my life. Like I felt like I was committing the biggest crime
And
while
it's
sitting there.
mostly, honestly, a lot of the reason why we feel this way is because of the media and because of some, like you say, mom shamers who have decided strongly against this, and they're just like, no, you should never be doing this. And again, that's their decision. For you, it reminds me of, some of, like, no offense to any people, but there are some people who try to push their opinions on you. And it's like, okay, I respect your opinion, so you need to respect mine. And I feel like that's what this situation is. But again, quick side note, like, did you know that there are very many tells to be able to put them down e more easily? So there are a few things you can do. First, you establish a routine. So like you said, like shower them, read a story, do all these relaxing and calming things before bed. And then the next thing is, when you notice their tells, like when you notice they're yawning, rubbing their eyes, even pulling their ears, they're getting sleepy. So don't wait until they're past that point, because if they're beyond tired, they're not gonna sleep.
No, they'll be overtired and what's the word? Overstimulated, right? Like they'll. It's like a rush of adrenaline comes in and they're more awake now.
Yes, I know. Which is funny, because you would think like, oh, they're so tired that they'll just fall asleep. But no. You have to find that fine line, that little balance in between. And then other than that, what are some other stuff? They say make sure they're dressed in like really comfortable clothes. Which makes sense, right? Because it's like, would you like to go to sleep in spandex and
No.
like a bra or something? No, you
No.
want to be relaxed and free.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. He was actually sleeping in a bodysuit when he was co-sleeping with us because he would get warm, right? Because being next to us, he'll get really warm. But as soon as he was moved into the crib, I put on the fleece pajamas, and he loves them. Every morning, it's kind of like a mission just to try to get him out of them because he doesn't want to take it off.
Yeah, that sounds like
Because
Anna.
there's, yeah.
She just
So
runs
he.
now, like, because she's running now, so she's in her fleece pajamas, and we're like, okay, it's time to change. No, and then she just like runs down the hall.
That's the best.
Keep going.
She's so cute. Yeah, he's not there yet. He likes to kick and kick. Kick and scream is or crawl. Like I bring him into our bed to like do a quick change. It's easier than, any other area. So he just gets up and then starts crawling. Like, where are you going? You're gonna fall. Come back here.
Like, oh, time to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the worst is
Yeah.
when you take off their diaper and then they decide to,
Oh.
I don't want to do this anymore. Bye.
Yeah. That's the
Yeah.
Dom
But
had like naked toddlers running around the house the other day. And I was just like, come back
yeah,
here. The neighbors will see you. Like, oh my gosh.
get your butt back here.
Yeah, exactly.
So funny. Another thing that I wanted to talk about, mom shaming and mom guilt. And, I agree that things are good for mothers now because there's technology to help us out with raising our children. And, we can Google anything and kind of be self-sufficient that way. But we don't have the experience that I think that past mothers have had, because the term, like, it takes a village to raise a child. Yes, they had the village to help them. They had their neighbors to help them. They, everyone talked to each other and got to know each other, and the kids played together on the streets. And if some kid was behaving badly, the other parents would tell them. There was like this whole sense of community, and that's been lost for us, right? Like, I don't know my neighbors' names. Like, I think my husband knows one of our neighbors, but I don't know the other neighbor.
It's so true.
We, especially now with quarantine and COVID, it's like I don't have a sense of community that's in our area that we can go. Like, I can't come visit your kids, and you can't come visit mine, and we can't have play dates and the whole bit. So we're kind of just like on our own right now. And on top of that, just having people give you a hard time about certain things, it just adds another layer on top of it. Like, just comparing and contrasting, it's been really rough, I think, these past 18 months, because I'm trying to do the best I can in like the situation that we're in. And but this just constant like comparing kids, and just by looking at them, they don't even know like the other stuff that's happening, right? Because they don't see them. They don't see them like walking around. They don't see his interacting with, the toys that he has. But just by his weight, like, there's comments, or so it's been really rough. And I think the sleep training has put me in a little bit of a funk as well, just not having him right beside me and then having him scream all the time. But it's just, I wanted to vent. I just wanted to be like, stop doing it. Like, you guys, just stop. Like, stop shaming other moms and stop making them feel bad, because we're all in this together. We're all trying to raise the best humans, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that was the part that was missing when I would feel the shame and, things would happen. I'd be able to turn to my mommy friends, or I'd be able to go to mommy
Exactly.
groups and all these places. And then they would just be like, forget them. Like, don't worry about it. So me being your mommy friend is telling you that you need to do what's best for you, and that is it. Like, don't worry about what other people are saying, right? Like, it doesn't really, like, it shouldn't really be their problem. Like, I don't know how to put this nicely, but
They should mind their own business.
yes, exactly. Yes.
I had an experience a while ago where an auntie actually followed me in the room with my son to see how much he was going to eat.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, and it's like, they come behind you pretending like they're going to help you, but really and truly they just wanted to go back into the room with everyone and say that he ate significantly less than what he actually ate.
Insane. But you know what?
They're crazy.
No, yeah, I fully agree with you when you say that. We had so, like, in terms of eating, that was a different story for me. But, like, as you know, I'm very quiet, and my sister was also very quiet. So for us growing up, my poor mom got shamed on that all
Oh,
time. Like, it was always like,
really?
do they know how to talk? Like,
Oh,
we got comments like that from aunties and family and people. And at one point he was like, oh, I've never even heard your voice. Like, do you have a voice? Like, is it, do you have an opinion, or do you have, so here I am 30 something years later saying, yes, I
yes.
do. And I'm gonna shout it to the world. And I'm using
Exactly.
technology, and I'm using my resources to say, you know what? Kids, people are individuals. They are them. And
Yes.
that's just their personality. If they're shy, they're shy. If they, might be picky eaters when they're a kid, it might be a different story when they're older. It doesn't
Exactly.
matter. Everyone is different. And like you said before,
Mm-hmm.
and now I'm ranting, not to stop the mom shaming. Like, there's
Yes.
chaos and negativity in
Exactly. And that's the thing with everything going on. It's
world,
like, why are you nitpicking on the little
right?
things? Like, leave me alone, dude.
Exactly.
Like, mind your business.
And that's, like, honestly, I totally feel for celebrities now, because it's like, right? Oh, actually, that's like that clip you posted about Jada Pinkett.
The red top ticket, yes.
That's right. Right? Because she was in the public eye. Like, it's bad enough for us not being in the public eye or
I
public call,
know.
but for her, with the paparazzi all around, oh, I can't even
And every little thing that she does, it's insane. And it's like I feel like I'm under a microscope all the time, and everything I say or do is always criticized. I can't imagine what it's like for her, like tenfold, sorry. I'm just, and I think that's why I wanted to talk about mom guilt today, because it's like, there's a lot going on, guys. Like, just chill with the mom guilt, like mom shaming. Let us be. Let us raise our child the best way that we can, and keep your opinions to yourself about it. Like, what happened to raising, the village raising the child? Like, what happened to that?
I know, I wish we
What
could go
happened
back
to every
to that.
and to like lift each other up? Like, of course there's mommy friends who will be going through the same thing as you, who help you and lift you up, but like there's also a lot of people who don't feel that way, right?
But it's always like someone wise once told me, people will treat
Yeah.
you the way that like they're gonna act and kind of pick on stuff because they themselves are not always very happy. So it's more of a
Yeah.
reflection of themselves. So if they're judging
Exactly.
you, if they're doing these things, it's because of them. So yeah. When once you think of it that way, it's kind of like, oh, well, that's really tough for me
Yeah.
because I wish you wouldn't take it out on me.
I know. No, of course. No, I agree. And that's the thing. It's like constantly trying to remind yourself. It's like it's because of their insecurity. It's because of their insecurity. They're not doing well themselves, and that's why they feel as though they need to say something.
And it's like this one documentary thing that my husband watched one day, which is basically about how humans are very self-centered. Like everything is about them.
Yes, of course.
Will be focused on them and they'll relate it to you somehow, or they'll find something that bothers them. And yeah.
No, that's absolutely right. And I have those moments. Of course,
Oh,
everyone
I
does.
obviously do.
Yeah. We all do. But I think that's the whole like survival, right? Like survival of the fittest. It's like you have to kind of take care of yourself in order to survive.
Exactly, yes.
And yeah, I don't know. We should do an episode of how to respond to mom shaming.
We really should. Maybe that could be our next
Yeah.
one.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like we should, yeah. I don't know how to survive respond myself, but doing the research might be a good idea, and actually getting the help, like for myself, how to respond. But you know what it is? I'm one of those people where it happens and you're like in shock. Like I don't know what to say. Like when she was saying, oh, that's not how much he ate. He ate significantly less than that. I'm like, no. But then I didn't know what else to say. I'm like, but no. I'm like, no, why are you doing this?
So I can either go two ways. Like I'm both my parents, so I'm either my mom who would be like, you want to feed him? Like, or I'm my dad who would just constantly remind himself, you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it. It's
Don't
not
say anything
worth
at all.
speaking up for, don't do it. Like if it's, if it's a small thing in the grand scheme of things, don't even try. Like, why waste your energy, right?
Yes. And that's how I was raised as well. My parents would always tell me, like, they can behave the way they behave, but you always like, be nice and calm and think of their feelings, even though they're jerks and they deserve the worst. But like, always be,
I know.
always think of other people's feelings.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like there are ways to kind of find an in-between with that too, right?
Oh,
Just
yes. Yeah.
like very recently in my life, I've started calling people out, but not in a rude way, but kind of like for example, in that situation, I would just be like, oh, like, what do you mean not enough? Do you know how much they should be having? Like, can you tell me? Because maybe I don't know. Maybe you can teach me. Sometimes even just saying something like that will leave people very flabbergasted, and they'll just be like, like I didn't have an answer for you. Like I didn't actually know. I was just criticizing. Like, yeah, way to put me on the spot, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I digressed and I vented and what should we talk
No,
about
yeah,
now?
no, it's totally fine. I don't, I'm sorry, I'm not even sure if I'm finishing all these thoughts properly.
Yeah, I'm not either. I feel like I'm just like, here, this is what I've gone through.
No, but that's
Bleh.
exactly what these groups are about, right? We're not always going to have the
Yeah.
answer. We're not, like, sometimes it's just to bring it, and that's okay. Like, so many times,
Yeah.
how many times have you ranted to someone and just been like, oh, I feel better?
Yes,
Yeah.
exactly. It's so funny. We need to figure out a way how where they can like maybe for this episode when we post it, I can maybe put in like something where people can actually message us back and tell us their rants or like rant at
Yes,
us.
I love that. Love that.
Yeah, like a
Yes.
hashtag rant, coffee and bottles rant at
Right.
us
Yeah,
or something.
I like it. I like it. It's good.
You
Yeah.
like it? Hashtag
Because I'm
rant
sure
at
people
us
have
or
their own stories,
hashtag
stories of their own, right? Like where
yes.
they're just like, oh, I've been meaning to tell someone this, but yeah, for sure.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram and feel free to tag us at hashtag Coffee and Bottles Podcast. Thank you for listening to Coffee and Bottles. Keep sipping on.